If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Amen. You know, there are some amazing prayers in the Bible. And this is one of them here in Colossians chapter 1, the prayer that Paul expresses on behalf of the Colossian Christians. And the title of my message today is A New Year's Prayer. Because although I don't know the time of year the apostle composed this prayer, I believe this is a very appropriate prayer for us as we contemplate all that God has for us in the new year. We all have in common the fact that we don't know what the new year holds. Amen? We don't know what it's going to bring. But we know whose we are. We know to whom we belong. Amen, church? Amen. And we must look to Him as our source for everything we need in this year and beyond. And so as we look at this threefold prayer, I want to share with you three aspects of this prayer as our prayer for this body, for each and every one of you, and for us as a collective church body. For 2018, a New Year's prayer. Paul's prayer was, first of all, a prayer for perception. A prayer for perception. He says, since we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul prayed that they would have perception to understand first. How many know that God has a will for each and every one of us? God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. Sometimes we give very little thought as Christians to the will of God, to the plan of God, to the direction of God. I've said this many, many times. I'll say it again. It's astounding how many major decisions Christians make without seeking God, without getting on their knees before God, without praying to Him about the decisions they make. I think that's a dangerous practice, don't you? I don't know about you, but every major decision I make in my life, and most of the minor ones I might add, I need the wisdom of Almighty God. I need to know what His will is for my life. Because one thing I've learned, this thing I know, that He can see a lot farther in the future than I can. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows, as he says in Jeremiah, he knows the plans he has for us. We very much better seek the will of God. Paul didn't want the church at Colossae to guess at the will of God for their lives. Neither should we guess at the will of God for our lives. We need to ask God, as Paul prayed in this prayer, to fill us with the knowledge of his will. Now, by that, I don't mean that God's going to let us know everything that's going to happen in our lives for the next 10 years. As much, as badly as some of us would like to know. But his will, his direction for our lives. And if you haven't discovered this morning, let me tell you, there's something powerful about being in such great touch with God, about having such perception about the will of God, that you sense his leading and his direction in your life. And when you go to move in a certain direction, you have the sense of whether or not this is God's direction, this is God's desire for your life, or if he'd have you to go in another place and another direction. While we may not know everything that's going to happen 10 years out, we can know this, the general direction that God has for us. We can know that God says, step in this direction, take that job, move to this house, turn down this request, this opportunity is not for you. We can hear the voice of God and know his will in the immediate circumstances of our life. My prayer for you, as Paul prayed for the Colossians, is that you would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. That you would have the sense of God's leading and his direction in your life. You know, there are many things that come into our lives unexpectedly, as I said a moment ago. But when we have a sense that we're in the perfect will of God. Hear me now, church. Some of you know what I'm talking about. When we have a sense that we're being led by Almighty God, when a setback comes, when the unexpected comes, we can have a peace deep down inside of us because we know that whatever comes, whatever you know, comes out of left field, so to speak, whatever comes unexpectedly, it's okay. It wasn't unexpected to God, and we're in his perfect will, and he's going to take us where we need to go. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? Amen? That we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. When we pray for when we say that we want you to 2018 to be the best year you've ever had, and some of you say, well, that's a cliche. You said that last year. Yes, I said it last year and the year before. I'm saying it this year, and here's a sneak peek. I'll probably say it again next year. I mean, what do we want? Each year to be worse than the year before? Of course not. We want this to be the best year ever. Let me give you a little clue how that takes place. When we walk in lockstep with the will of God, when we hear his voice, when we take the time to say, what does the Lord say for me? Does the Lord have a word for me and for my life? Does the Lord have a guiding principle for my decision? When we take the time to ascertain the will of God, let me tell you, this year can't help but be the best year you've ever had. But when we go our own way, when we chart our own course, when we follow our own agenda, as they say, good luck. Paul prayed that they be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Also, in praying for perception, he prayed that they would be full of the knowledge of the Word of God. Verse 10 says, growing in the knowledge of God. It's impossible for me to fully explain the importance of the Word of God in your life and in my life. The Psalm says something I often quote, this book is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This book is not just to look nice on your shelf. This book is not just to say, we have it when we have an emergency. You know, I think there's a verse that says something about that. Let me find it. This is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And let me encourage you to read the Word of God. I'm sure many of you do. You need to read the Word of God no matter what your circumstance is in life. have some teens here. You may be a teen. Many of your friends may have turned their backs on God or don't know the Lord. They think the Bible is a book of fairy tales and things that are unimportant. I say to our teens, read your Bible. You may be in your 20s. You may be busy with life and trying to find your way. Read your Bible. Maybe you're in your 30s and your 40s and you're raising children and life is a whirlwind. Life is a blur and you're just so busy and you can hardly think and sometimes life just is a whirlwind. Read your Bible. Maybe you're in your 50s and you're beyond. You've heard it all, seen it all, bought the t-shirt, as they say. You think you've acquired a great deal of wisdom. Let me say this, read your Bible. For in it is the greatest wisdom you and I could ever have. We need to know the Word of God. It is amazing and it is powerful. And some of you know what I'm talking about. When you find yourself in a situation in life and the Word of God that you've taken in, that you've absorbed, that you have immersed yourself in, a scripture, a phrase, a passage of scripture will come to your mind, will come to your understanding, and will bring life, bring information to that situation, bring life to that situation, and will get you through a tough spot. How many know what I'm talking about? I read the Bible through every year. I make it my practice. I use the one-year Bible. There are many other plans for reading through the Bible. Some people take one book of the Bible and focus on that, or a group of books and focus on that. Whatever plan you use, whatever works for you, read the Word of God. Spend time in His Word. It's amazing also how many times things you've read before that maybe didn't leap out of the page, maybe you're going through a situation in life and you'll read that passage again and it'll come alive to you because you're in a place where that concept and that scripture ministers to you. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? We need to know the Word of God. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the creator of the fictional detective Sherlock Holmes, reportedly told of a time when he climbed into a taxi cab in Paris. Before he could utter a word, the driver turned to him and said, "Where can I take you, Mr. Doyle?" Doyle was flabbergasted. He asked if he'd ever seen him before. He said, "No, sir. I've never seen you before, but this morning's paper had a story about you being on vacation in Marseille. This is a taxi stand where people who return from Marseille always come. Your skin color tells me you've been on vacation. The ink spot on your right index finger suggests to me that you are a writer. Your clothing is very English, not French. Adding up all those pieces of information, I deduce that you are Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the creator of Sherlock Holmes." Doyle replied, "That is truly amazing. You are a real-life counterpart to my fictional creation, Sherlock Holmes." The driver said, "There was one other clue." "What was that?" he said. "Your name is on the front of your suitcase." The point of that being, it's amazing what we can learn when we pay attention. What might God say to you and to me in 2018? What is He saying today? 1 week has passed in the new year. What has He tried to say to us in the past week of the new year? Already, 7 days are gone. The will of God, that you might perceive the will of God, that you might perceive and undergo in the knowledge of the Word of God. This year, let's commit. No matter our experience, no matter where we are in life, let's commit to having our spirits, our minds, our hearts open and telling God, "Lord, I want to have understanding of what Your will is for my life. Lord, I want to understand Your Word. I want to know. I want to hear Your voice. I want to know where You're leading me." A prayer for perception. What's the second aspect of this New Year's prayer, this prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Colossae? He prayed for prosperity. He prayed for prosperity. We pray this, verse 10 says, "In order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." There are two aspects here describe that God wants us to prosper. Now, I know what we all hope for. I hope I prosper financially. Well, I hope you do too. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. They say the stock market this year has broken all kinds of records. So if you have money in stocks, praise God. You just never know what a year is going to bring, right? What do they say? Past performance is not indicative of, you know, future earnings. So word to the wise. Anyway, I digress. Paul's not talking here about financial prosperity. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture in 1 John that says, I pray that you prosper even as your soul prospers. You know, we can focus a lot on the prosperity of our bank account. I think we need to focus more on the prosperity of our souls. Paul prays for prosperity here. First of all, he prays for prosperity in your walk, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. In the New Testament, the phrase or the word walk is indicative of a lifestyle. When Paul, especially in the writings of Paul, when he refers to your walk, he's referring to the way you customarily live, your lifestyle. Paul prays that we would be prosperous in our walk with God. What does that mean? That means that over time, the definition of prospering in our walk is ever walking closer to the Lord. Like that old gospel song says, just a closer walk with thee. And that is my prayer for us at Harvest Church, that we would walk, we would live our lives more closely to Almighty God in 2018 than ever before. Don't you think that's a worthy goal? Come on, church. We're called to be like Jesus. We're called to walk with him. That was God's plan from the beginning. You remember when God created Adam and Eve? And he would come to commune with them and fellowship with them in Genesis in the cool of the day. And it was only sin that broke that fellowship. God's desire is that we walk with him. As I said, you make a lot of money, that's great. Tithe on it and use it for God's kingdom. Hallelujah. What else would a preacher say? But it's more important that we prosper in our walk with God, that we draw closer to him. You see, I don't believe we ever reach a point in our Christian life where we should stop, we should be done growing. Right? Pastor Tim, I've known the Lord 40 years, 50 years. What are you going to do for the next 40 or 50 if you live that long? Going to stay where you are? Or are you going to grow? You're going to get closer to him. I don't know about you, but I want to be closer to him. I thank God for, I've known the Lord a long time. I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was a little boy. And I've walked with him a long time. I've stumbled quite a bit, but he's always picked me up. And it's been a wonderful walk. As a matter of fact, My dad was not a musician. Well, he played a harmonica, but other than that, he used to say, I play the harmonica and the radio. God gave him a song driving in his car, 1963, driving home from work, entitled It's a Walk of Faith. I may have mentioned it before. And that became, he was a layman, he wasn't a pastor, but he would speak at Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowships, if you remember those, and he would sing his song, It's a Walk of Faith. We played at his funeral, we played a recording of him singing that because he was known for that. That it's our walk. We walk in faith. We walk close to him. Walk. I thank God for the journey. I could keep you here for hours telling you things that God has done in my life, things that I didn't deserve, things that he's blessed me with, things that he's taught me, things that he's brought me through. But I want to walk with him in 2018. I want to see new miracles. I want to see new ground gained in my life. Don't you?
Yes.
Thank God for how far he's brought you. Thank God for what he's taught you and what he's done in your life and for what he's brought you through. But church, there's more.
Amen.
There's more.
Yes.
That we would prosper in our walk, that we would get closer to him, that we would think his thoughts, that we would act more like Jesus. Paul also prayed for prosperity in their work. Verse 10, he says, bearing fruit in every good work. What is fruit? Fruit is something that's produced. You plant an apple tree, what grows on it? Apples. You're a sharp bunch. You pick that up. You plant an orange tree, what grows on it? I see, now you're getting it. Now you're really on top of it. It's what's produced. And when the qualities of Christ, the fruit, Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, etc. When we become more like Jesus, we bear fruit. Something is produced. The scripture also uses fruit in the context of bringing souls to Jesus Christ, the fruit of our work. Amen. Do you ever feel like in your personal life or in your career, in your employment, you're just working and working and working and working, and you ever stop and ask yourself, what am I accomplishing? And I think we all ask that, don't we? We put in the hours, we get the paycheck, we work, we do it. What am I accomplishing? You know, we can have that same dynamic in our Christian life. We may be involved in a ministry, and that's great. I believe everybody should be involved in ministry. But what am I accomplishing? I used to do a teaching on spiritual gifts and used to talk about it. And music isn't a spiritual gift per se, but it's a way God uses people. One of the things I used to tell people, when you sing, you see people going like this, you're not bearing a lot of fruit. Look for something else, okay? Very, very basic. And when I say that, we need to understand, the Bible says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Listen, our fruit isn't always instantaneous. Sometimes we have to labor a long time and just be faithful and know that we're doing what God wants us to do, and He'll bring the fruit in due season. We understand that. So I'm not talking about, you know, every time we take an action or do something, we see the immediate results of our work, and we can just all feel good about ourselves. Sometimes it's a slog. Sometimes it's intense. Sometimes it's being faithful and leaving the results to God. I understand that. But Paul prayed that they would have fruit in their good works, that they would accomplish something for God. And my prayer for us as a church body is that we would bear fruit, that we would fill this sanctuary. Wouldn't it be nice to fill this sanctuary to overflowing, have to go to two services? I believe that's fruit that we can bear if we're faithful to God and follow after His plan. All of us together, not just my responsibility. I have a big part of it, but so do you. Let's fill this house. Let's fill up the kingdom of God. Let's snatch some souls from the flames of hell this year. Come on, church. We don't often tell you, I'm talking very dramatically, but that's a dramatic truth. There are people who need to hear the gospel who don't belong to Jesus Christ that are going to pass into the next life this year. And if their lives aren't turned around, if they don't confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're bound for a sinner's hell. Do we understand that? Are we grieved by that? Are we motivated by that? We need to bear fruit. We need to snatch as many as we can from the flames of hell. Bearing fruit in every good work. The scripture I mentioned a moment ago, New American Standard Bible, actually it's in 3 John. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. The prayer for us is that we prosper in our walk with God, that we walk closer to Him than ever before, and that we prosper in our work for Him, that we bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we belong to Him. Just like we sang this morning, you deserve it all. Prayed for perception. He prayed for prosperity. Thirdly, he prayed for power. Pray for power. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father. Colossians 1:11. The Colossians needed power in their lives. And church, guess what? We need power in our lives. You see, something we forget sometimes, we are not called to live this life and to serve God and to accomplish things for God in our own strength. How futile would that be? Come on. What kind of a mess would that produce? And there are a lot of places in the world where it produces nothing but a mess because we forget about needing the power of God. Listen, without the power of God, we can't accomplish anything. When Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples before ascending to the Father, he basically told them, go and change the world. Amen. But you know, he didn't just leave it there. He said, go wait in Jerusalem for the Spirit my Father has promised, and he's going to pour out upon you. And when he does, you're going to have power to be my witnesses. That's how you change the world. That's how you make a difference. And listen, there are a lot of faithful, sincere Christians in this church and every other church who work hard and are sold out to God and do their very best and thank God for them. But sometimes they're laboring in their own power and their own strength, and they're wondering why they're not as effective as they ought to be. It's because they need the power that only God gives. He said, first of all, there's power to endure. Verse 11, so you may have great endurance. Church, this race that we're in is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Amen? You know the difference between a sprint and a marathon. You can find a champion sprinter. You put him in a marathon, he's liable to end up in last place. Isn't a runner a runner? No, they're totally different. A sprinter, you know what I'm talking about. A sprinter needs a burst of energy. He needs to do the 40-yard dash or 100-yard dash, whatever it is. Man, he just needs that burst. And he gives it all he has, and that's it, man. And that's how some Christians, start out in their Christian life. Man, they are so excited. They found new life in Jesus, man. They are so excited, man. They sign up for every ministry. They're part of every committee. They're at every meeting and even prayer meetings. Hallelujah. And just kind of, man, just great guns for a short time. And they flame out. I've seen it. I've seen it all my years in church. Many of you have too. And they mean well. They're so excited they found Jesus. But they don't have power to endure. Well, you take a marathon runner. Man, he trains. He practices. Right? Any of you here ever run a marathon? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You have to build up your endurance. You have to be ready for the long haul. And when it comes to living our life for Almighty God, we need the power that comes from Almighty God to endure. Listen, life can be rough. We live in a culture, we live in a world that is hostile to the things of God. If you haven't found that out now, I have a newsflash for you. And it doesn't matter who's in power, who's in the White House, who's in the State House, who's in Congress. That'll change. That'll change every few years. And some people get excited who's in, and that's fine. That's all well and good. But what really, the bottom line is, we live in a world and a culture that is hostile to Christian values. It always has been. It always will be. Jesus said, they hate me, they're going to hate you. Amen. And if we don't understand that, we're living in a fairy tale world. Say, Pastor Tim, that's the bad news. What's the good news? The good news is this, that God will give us power to endure. That when we seek him, see, church, this is why the basics are so important. This is why it's so important to be in the house of God on a regular basis. This is why it's so important, as we said before, to read the word. This is why it's so important to spend time in prayer, to build ourselves up, to strengthen ourselves, to put on, as Ephesians 6 refers to, our spiritual armor, that we may be able to stand. Hallelujah. to endure. When our message isn't popular, when people don't want to receive our Jesus, nevertheless, we remain faithful. How does that happen? Because we have power to endure. You and I need to pray, Lord, give me power to endure. Lord, give me power to be faithful. Lord, when what I say isn't popular, when my stand for you causes some friction, Lord, give me strength to endure. And then, and this might seem oddly placed, but nevertheless, here it is. Power to endure, power to enjoy.
Amen.
That you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. What a prayer. Lord, help the Colossians to understand your will and your word. Help them to prosper in their walk in the work and give them your power to endure the difficulties and still enjoy the journey. Here's the awesome, awesome thing that many saints throughout the centuries have discovered and that we do well to know. With all of the challenges, with all of the burdens, with all of the struggles, with all of the difficulties, we can enjoy the journey. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, I've come that your joy might be full. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's joy in serving Jesus. There's joy in abandoning ourselves to him. There's joy in having committed to him and saying, Lord, whatever comes, I'm yours. Lord, if things don't go well, I'm yours. If the stock market collapses, Lord, I'm still yours. If my friends don't understand me, Lord, I'm still yours. If my health deteriorates, Lord, I'm still yours. If I'm all alone in standing up for you, Lord, I'm still yours. Hallelujah. There's joy in that. There's joy in serving Jesus. The scripture says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And if we're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, if we're not experiencing his joy daily and having that joy flow through us, then we're living beneath our privilege today. You say, how is that possible? You just said we live in a world hostile to the things of God. You see, our joy does not depend on our surroundings. Our joy doesn't depend on our circumstances. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about today?
Yes,
our joy doesn't depend on how well things go or how unwell they go. That's probably not good English, but you know what I'm saying. Our joy doesn't depend on those things. Our joy, the scripture says, is like a fountain springing up from within us. Hallelujah. It's supernatural. It comes from the very throne room of God. Hallelujah. Power to endure, power to enjoy. After 15 years, an elderly Florida woman finally had electric power restored in her house. She lost her power back in 1992 when Hurricane Andrew struck. How many remember Hurricane Andrew? For 15 years, she had no heat during the winter months and no air conditioning in the summer. Without power for the electric water heater, she took cold showers every morning and ran extension cords to her neighbors to power a small refrigerator and a cooktop. She got a settlement, but the money ran out before the contractor finished the work to repair the damage by the hurricane. Instead of bringing her house up to code, the contractor ran out and left her, leaving her home half repaired and without electricity. Her situation fell through the cracks. Finally, a tip, Miami-Dade County Mayor Carlos Alvarez at the time initiated an investigation and an inspection. The power got restored. She experienced the simple joy of flipping on a switch and having a light come on, something that all of us take for granted. But she knew the difference. She knew how awesome it was. Because she was without it for 15 years. How about you today? Is the power of God flowing through your life? Or is your life starved for power? I Are you trying to do it in your own strength? With your own ability? That doesn't work, and it never has, and it never will. Lord, give us power. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit power that we can live this life, that we can run this race and not just survive it, but that we can thrive in it, that we can live excellently. I don't know about you, but I want to hear those words from my Lord and Savior. Well done, good and faithful servant. How about you? I don't want to just get through this life. Man, I want to live victoriously. The power of Almighty God. New Year's prayer. Prayer for perception. Prayer for power. A prayer for everything we need. I shared this on Wednesday night with those who are at the prayer meeting, so if you were here, it's going to be repetitious, and I'll close with this. I came across this prayer for the new year. It's worded so much better than I can. I don't ordinarily read to you, but I want to read this to you. And with this, I'll close. Kind of let this sink into your spirit. Let this be our prayer. Dear God, thank you, that you make all things new. Thank you for all that you've allowed into our lives this past year, the good along with the hard things, which have reminded us how much we need you and rely on your presence filling us every day. We pray for your Spirit to lead us each step of this new year. We ask that you will guide our decisions and turn our hearts to deeply desire you above all else. We ask that you will open doors needing to be opened and close the ones needing to be shut tight. We ask that you would help us release our grip on the things to which you said no, not yet, or wait. We ask for help to pursue you first above every dream and desire you've put within our hearts. We ask you for wisdom, for your strength and power to be constantly present within us. We pray that you would make us strong and courageous for the road ahead. Give us ability beyond what we feel able. Let your gifts flow freely through us so that you would be honored by our lives and others would be drawn to you. We pray that you'd keep us far from the snares and traps of temptations, that you would whisper in our ear when we need to run and whisper in our heart when we need to stand our ground. We pray for your protection over our families and friends. We ask for your hand to cover us and keep us distant from the evil intent of the enemy, that you would be a barrier to surround us, that we'd be safe in your hands. We pray that you would give us discernment and insight beyond our years to understand your will, hear your voice, and know your ways. We ask that you would keep our footsteps firm on solid ground, helping us to be consistent and faithful. Give us supernatural endurance to stay the course, not swerving to the right or to the left, or being too easily distracted by other things that would seek to call us away from a close walk with you. Forgive us for the times we have worked so hard to be self-sufficient, forgetting our needs for you, living independent of your Spirit. Forgive us for letting fear and worry control our minds and for allowing pride and selfishness to wreak havoc over our lives. Forgive us for not allowing your ways and for living distant from your presence. We confess our need for you, fresh, new, again. We ask that you make all things new in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives for this coming year. We pray for your refreshing over us. Keep your words of truth planted firm within us. Help us to keep focused on what is pure and right. Give us the power to be obedient to your word. And when the enemy reminds us where we have been, hissing his lies and attacks our way, we trust that your voice speaks louder and stronger as you remind us we are safe with you and your purposes and plans will not fail. We ask that you will be our defense and rear guard, keeping our way clear, removing the obstacles and covering the pitfalls. Lord, lead us on your level ground. We ask that you would provide for our needs. We ask for your grace and favor. We pray for your blessings to cover us. We pray that you would help us to prosper and make every plan that you have birthed in our heart to succeed. We pray that others would take notice of your goodness and could not help but say, these are the ones the Lord has blessed. Help us to be known as great givers. Help us to be generous and kind. Help us to look to the needs of others and not be consumed by our own. May we be lovers of truth. May the fruits of your Spirit be evident in our lives. Your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Shine your light in us, through us, over us. May we make a difference in this world for your glory and purposes. Set your way before us. May all your plans succeed. May we reflect your peace and hope to a world that so desperately needs your presence and healing. To you be glory and honor in this new year and forever. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Hallelujah. Let's praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, that's our cry. That's our prayer to you. Hallelujah. Lord, have your way in our lives. Hallelujah. Have your way, O God, in all that we set our hands to do. O Lord, in the speech of our lips, in the things that we set our hands to do, God, may they be pleasing in your sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.